Okay. All right, Sunday morning, 1:23:22. The title of this is Ruling Over Creation with Your Words. This is where the Lord has been teaching us to get to. All right, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 1. Everything is going to be different. Everything is going to be different. And we cannot be like the Pharisees and resist change. I'm not talking the world's change. I'm talking about God's. All right, Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we know here in the Strong's, this is, he's brooding, it says. He's brooding, like he's really thinking. Because he sees the darkness, he sees devastation, whatever happened. Satan tore it apart. Means to think deeply, not just off the top of your head, but to really brood on something, really think on something until you get, what am I supposed to do about this? This is the way the Holy Spirit was looking over the devastation. All right. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. He's the God that calls those things to be not as though they are, or they were. It's Romans chapter 4. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The second day, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Envision yourself, I know this is a silly analogy, but sometimes I think that way when I'm going places, like a Jedi. What happened when Luke Skywalker would walk into places? Maybe they wouldn't see him. Or maybe he would say something and they would think the way he wanted them to think. See, the earth will obey you. Your body will obey you. 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Something missing in you? Call it in. See, the more you practice this, the better you'll get at it. And the quicker it'll come. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. I wonder if a farmer thought that way. Well, I got a package of bad seed and it didn't work, so I'm just going to quit farming. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, up which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. When it says God made, I believe it meant he spoke. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth, in the evening, morning, with the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast out of the earth after his kind. It was so. And he made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So therefore, he works by faith. That's what he did, all of this, by faith, every bit of it. What said he made Adam? Well, he did. He made him with his mouth. You saw how the Spirit gave thought, pondered, got a picture, then spoke. Anytime I've waited on the Lord like that on something, what to do, sometimes it's taking time, and you speak that rhema, you get nearly immediate results. You talk about a Big Bang Theory. I mean, this was the Big Bang right here. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I just had a thought. What if you were out fishing and this... You just called them in. They just started jumping in your boat, and the game warden come down there and starts getting on you. He said, what am I supposed to do? They all just jumped in the boat. You going to find me because they jumped in my boat? That may seem silly, but I don't think it's too outlandish. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. Oh, well, we're supposed to have dominion over the fish, right? And over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So this is how God created. All right, let's keep going. Genesis 2, first three verses. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works which God created and made. This is my thoughts on this. This kingdom age, this 1,000 years, this is for our rest. Enslavement for 6,000 years. This is the rest of God that he's granted us. Okay. This is what rested means. Cessation. C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N. Cessation is stopping of action. So God made what he made. He spoke it. It doesn't say it appeared immediately. It didn't say that. It just said God said. I don't know how the time frame and all that coming together, him speaking and doing those things. I know every day he got up with a fresh idea for the next day. So one day he made all this. Second day he made all that. He had 6 days that he worked. The seventh day he rested. He was done. He was finished. Okay. As far as God is concerned, he said it and it has not changed. Exception, he put Adam in charge to maintain what he had put in place. initially, what was in place then should still be in place now, except it should fill the earth. Yeah. All right, Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Since he's made in the image and likeness of God, how did he keep it? His mouth. His words. Think about it. All right, go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What is this saying right here? Even though Satan came in and mucked it up, Jesus came and set it right so we could proceed forward. He upholds all things by his word. And according to Mark 11:23, what we speak, it says, believe the word that you speak. Okay. In fact, that's my next scripture. God upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. All right, Mark 11. Y'all are going to get this. We're all going to get this. Mark 11:11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about all upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Boy, he was routing the place out, wasn't he? And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel to the temple. Now, get this. Jesus is taking the kingdom. We're talking the kingdom of God in heaven, God's heaven, how they operate there, how they do things there, how God things did on the earth. He's here to show people the kingdom. He taught them, and he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves. And this, he made enemies right off the bat. And the enemies and chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. I'm looking forward to the day that we are no longer astonished when God manifests something and say, oh, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. No, it isn't. It's the way of the kingdom. It's normal. They were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus probably said, yeah. Oh, it's a miracle! It's a miracle! No. Yeah. So? This is normal. This is normal. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I mean, these are the ones you just go about just saying. Never giving it a thought. Just keep on trucking, doing what the next thing is. That's what Jesus did. The fig tree cursed it, and then he walked in the temple and took his whip out and ratted them out. He was about the kingdom and kingdom business always. I know our Bible says all these are miracles. Well, to people that are deaf, dumb, and blind, it is a miracle. People that don't know anything about God and his ways, to them that is a miracle. But I'm telling you, this is the normality of kingdom living. For those that can perceive it, those who will receive it. God ruled with his words. Jesus ruled with his words. Now you rule with your words. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom of God. This is where kings rule. All right, the Lord showed me a point here in Mark 11 when he cursed the fig tree and said, no one eat fruit of thee again. He cursed the fig tree. That's what the Lord said to me. When we speak to our mountains, depending on what they are, we need to curse that obstacle. Curse the root cause. Chew on that and then speak to the mountain. Before just speaking a bunch of stuff. I had something happen to me where it woke me up in the middle of the night. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what's going on? What's the deal? Well, I've been trying to make it a practice. Just everywhere I go, all the time, just say, Lord, I give you thanks and I cast my care. And when I woke up, I had this little inkling of something that I had taken care of and hadn't even realized I had. Care is the other master. We're so used to caring for ourselves and caring about every little thing. That's all fear-based. Do you realize that? I'm sure. So if we're going to walk in the kingdom, we're going to have to walk carefree. And at all costs, keep that care cast. If you don't believe it, go read Matthew chapter 6. I've read it to you millions of times, I feel like. You can't serve two masters. You can't say, well, Lord, I'm walking with you and believing you, and then you all get wrought up about all of that. I said, okay, sorry. Sometimes it's just, you know, the Lord's showing you little places you think you're walking carefree, and he'll show you some things and thinking, no, you still got quite a suitcase full of things. You're still putting your mind to back here that you shouldn't be. We've got to walk away from the fig tree as if, just all in a day's work. I'm just tending, just keeping it, keeping my garden, tending it, keeping the weeds out, keeping the devil out. Okay, let's keep going. When Jesus came, the people had never seen anything like it. They were astonished. This is Luke chapter 4. 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Like, wow, it's a miracle. I guess I should title this, It's a Miracle. Isn't that the way most people act today? Most people have never seen the power of God. Most church people have never seen the power of God. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of churches across this land. Luke 9:37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the gatherings round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went into the ship, and he returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. See, that's what ought to cause this to happen. All right, 9:37. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child, and lo, a spirit taketh him. And he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And they besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all the things which Jesus did. I mean, it was so foreign to them, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's going to be a shock to a lot of people. I can't help but get frustrated. I said, Lord, help me to have patience with people, especially people on the outside that you've tried to help and tried to help and tried to interject, tried to say things, and it's just like water on a duck's back. God's people that day knew nothing about how God was or how he operated. They knew nothing. Nothing. Even though it was laid down in the beginning, the only ones that ever saw any demonstration of God's power were through the priest or the prophet, usually. Okay. We even call what Jesus did miracles, or the translators did. But I submit to you today that this is the normal kingdom operation. This should be a normal, it's the normal way that we live. I mean, if these people can believe this junk about there's a prison on the backside of the moon and all this extraterrestrial junk and all these galactic empires all over the place and all this stuff and their warp speed and their jumping and their star gates and their portals and all this stuff, if they can believe that, why can they not believe this? Where do they think that came from? I mean, God, if there's any technology that's good for anything, God's a part of it. Now, men have taken it and twisted it and distorted things. That's what the devil does. Just saying. All right. Jesus came to show the kingdom operation of God, and not to just observe it, but to be a participant in it. He actually put heaven in you. That's your homeland. See, he's at home in you. This is home. Not a house. This is home. You know, ET phone home. This is home. It's our base. This is from where everything operates. Out of it flows the issues of life, right here. If you'll get an inkling about this, it'll change your life. You'll go around expecting things to happen, not once in a while when something happens. Oh, it's a miracle! No, it's a normal day. It's a normal day in the neighborhood. God's neighborhood. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way Jesus walked. Some hated him over it. Others loved him. All right, let's keep going. Luke 17, 20. Now, up above there, the nine lepers had been cleansed, and then the Pharisees are speaking to him. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them. See, they're all looking for, well, when we see the third temple, when we see them two old prophets in the street, when we see this, we'll see that, we'll believe. No, right here. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You want the millennial reign to happen? Get busy operating it. Teach other people to operate it. And then before you know it, you think the evil took over? You just watch the kingdom of God start taking over and start to multiply and multiply and multiply. That's how it's going to happen. It's not going to be just a bam. The kingdom of God is if a man put seed in the ground. I wish it was going to be a big bam. But no, the kingdom of God that's in us is going to come out. We're going to operate in it and bring people in. Okay, Jesus said that we would do greater things than he did. This is John chapter 14, verse 12. He brought heaven to earth to show the way. Petra. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. When we became born again, we are now the ones that show the way. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What did he do? Raised the dead, walked on water, fed the multitudes, paid taxes from a fish's mouth. Think about it. Blind eyes were open, leprosy cured, people raised from the dead. The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Even today, most people, even Christians, are astonished when a supposed miracle happens, so many are not acquainted with kingdom operation. This should be the lifeblood of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be representing Jesus in the earth like he represented the Father in the earth. Right here, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So an ambassador represents. We are from heaven, the kingdom of heaven. So we're his representatives in the earth. We haven't done a very good job, but we're going to do better. Because when you don't know and you haven't been taught, then you don't know anything. This is normal operation for Christians. They just don't know it. They have been so corrupted by this fear-filled system that they have lost their faith. They don't know how to operate in faith on the side of peace, joy, supply, provision, all those kind of things. They just cringe in fear and use their faith for that. The other master has totally saturated through many avenues to keep us down. Well, it is time for us to turn things around so they can go from astonishment to following in Jesus' footsteps. It should be normal daily operation for Christians. Here are some good scriptures to think about and give out to the fearful. All right, I told you about Matthew. We're going to read it. Matthew 6. Most of the time when you say something to people, especially churchy people, oh, yeah. And I think it just goes in out one ear and one ear and out the other ear, but oh, yeah. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, I think if you can make people realize that they are highly developed in their faith, just on the fear side of it, that they would realize you can be just as powerful in the positive side of it as you are in that bad side of it. Because a lot of people think, well, I don't have any faith. Yeah, they do. They just have not developed. It's like a bodybuilder. Half of his body works out and the other half he didn't do anything. Well, how do you think that's going to look? One's a lip noodle and the other all bulked up. The fear side's all bulked up. The church is the noodle side. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is that life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Let me challenge you. When things come against you, just stand up in the face of it and say, I don't believe you. You're not real. Because it's the truth. It isn't real. It's the illusion. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? Satan cannot create. Do you realize that? He never created anything. All he did was manufacture fake news. He's still doing it. And you have to say, just like today when you hear somebody saying some of that garbage, you say, oh, I don't believe that. No, I'm not going to hang with that. No, I don't believe that. I say this. Why aren't you doing it to your body? Why aren't you doing it to your circumstances? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. We're not supposed to be toiling. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I want to be one of those that I wear the devil out, that he starts crying anytime I wake up. That's the way I want him to feel. I want to put him through the agony he's put me through. If that means I got to argue with that cuss, I'll argue until finally he leaves. That's the way it is. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and it says he will flee from you. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? We have a God that wants to fully provide for us in every way. Without us thinking, we have to toil to take care of ourselves. That's not his way. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? How are we going to pay the rent? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? If after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. There's a whole nation of people who've lost their homes, lost their businesses. Don't know what they're going to do. But here's the key. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. If you can keep your mouth shut in the face of adversity, and you can tell the devil, nope, I don't believe that, no, that's not going to happen, this is going to happen, and you can maintain that, you're going to see harvest from that. And you're going to see that stronghold of the enemy start to break off of you. All right. A few more scriptures on this. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive my debt. As I forgive my debtors. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Psalms 91. I went to eat with somebody this week, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry if I said anything I shouldn't. I've always tried to be real careful not to say anything. And I said, the only people in our family that had COVID is the only one that got vaccinated. I said, why in the world would you take something that don't work? And they just sat there quiet. I felt bad about it, and I thought, maybe I needed to say it. Because they've also had vaccinated in their family have it. Sometimes I think, maybe I should be saying it. Sometimes people need to have a little shaking. I didn't intend to say that. Didn't intend to say anything. I always try to be real careful, not say anything. Unless the Lord, you know, has me say it. It was just very silent. You know what? It's time this garbage is over. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we stop complying with it, and I don't mean their mandates, I mean the devil. We quit complying to the devil and his stuff, and it'll stop. There's the root of it. Talk about the root cause. The devil is the cause of this. This is his agenda. Oh. All right. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Make it personal. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I won't be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Oh, I did say that. And I said, ain't nobody in my family getting it. Not now, not ever. So I didn't just say that one thing. I said that other. I refuse, you know. It's just like, this is the way we have to be with the devil. Only with my eyes shall I see and behold the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Right now, I don't know who has brought it to court about the federal employees, is that the healthcare workers?
No.
I thought it was because they received federal funding.
Well, I don't know. They didn't really say.
Okay. Well, I've been speaking against that. So, all right. In this kingdom, there's nothing that harms or hurts. Paul got it in Acts 28. When the viper come out of the heat, what did he do? And what happened? Everybody was astonished. It's a miracle! He's a God! And what happened? He went and preached to them and then healed everybody on the island. You know what? When you've got demonstration, you can win a whole lot more people. You're going to have a lot more fish in your boat than if you don't. All right, this should be a regular day in the life of a Christian. Remember, we are saved. Jesus saved us from the devil's plot. He spiritually and literally saved us. We're sealed. We are. All right. God said he sat down and rested from all his works. We should not be toiling. We should be resting from our works. Trying to do this and trying to do that just doesn't work out. Jesus cursed the fig tree and went about his business and didn't go back to check to see if it really dried up. I believe this is the mindset that God wants us to have, not taking a care about anything, period. Not ever. All right, Matthew 14 will be our last scripture here. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the same time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here we go with that bunch. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out with fear, for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and unto him said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. He walked in another place, another dimension. It's called the kingdom of God. Roads, we don't need roads. Not in the kingdom of God. It's going to be that type of living when we get a hold of it. Just a normal day in the ministry of Jesus. Multiplied food, walked on the water, healed all the sick. But he didn't do it. It was the Father in him doing it. Yeah. The disciples were astonished, but Jesus wasn't. We need to stop being astonished when God's word works for us. It should be the most normal thing in the world. The response should not be, "It's a miracle." It should be, "Oh, that's just my Father at work. He does it all the time." Miracles are commonplace, or what you call miracles. It's just normal operation for us. Because we have been plugged into the matrix as a culture, you could call this the Dark Ages. It is all an illusion, and all the thief has done is part of that. But the kingdom and that operation is inside of us, and the Father and the Son are saying today that just as the Father did it and sat down, and just as Jesus cursed the fig tree and didn't look back, we can go forward and change things. We can and will rule creation with our words also.